Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You don't have to be Catholic to be deeply disturbed by what's been going on in the Catholic Church. And the name that I have seen come up most recently is very specific. His name is Rob Seilig. Rob, you're on the phone with us right now, and you are really so responsible for blowing the whistle on an archbishop who had done unspeakable things to plenty of people, yes?
I appreciate that very wonderful introduction, but yes, I do think it was my initial disclosure to the New York Times back in July about Cardinal McCarrick that has led to the series of a lot of coverage in the last many months around his actions and implicated the former bishop, now Cardinal Wuerl of Washington.
And tell us about that. I mean, obviously, you know, we are very well aware with Cardinal Wuerl. He has since come out and said, oh, he forgot about you telling him about McCarrick. You have to be absolutely out of your mind when you see that.
I agree with you, and you know it was actually his second effort to spin the narrative, because it was very obvious his first effort the prior week had failed miserably. I think he saw how it was received so poorly by the media, the press, and I'm sure many Catholics throughout the country, including in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. So it was offensive in both respects. When he initially claimed that he essentially was forced to lie about his knowledge of McCarrick through me, because I had bound him to some duty of confidentiality, which, Wendy, is very interesting, because for him to say he was forced to lie about what he knew because of confidentiality certainly indicates he had knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so only last few days, when he has now come out and said, actually, I did know way back then, but forgot about that until recently reminded.
Hey, Rob, what did you tell him? What did you tell him actually happened about McCarrick?
I shared with him as part of a 9-page document, not great detail, but a couple of paragraphs about inappropriate sleeping arrangements. Interestingly, and he glosses over this, not only involving me, but other seminarians of my diocese at that time, sleeping arrangements during beach house visits in New Jersey, fishing trips to New York and Yankees games, sleepovers after that, and a trip to Puerto Rico.
With young boys.
Back rubs and massages.
With young boys.
No, not with young boys.
Those are seminarians.
With me and other seminarians.
Right. I see. And you have also left the priesthood, and you're married and living in Jersey.
Yes. I left the priesthood 1 year after, as it was very apparent to me I was not called to the celibate life, and I've been married for 30 plus years in New Jersey.
I can't even, we're going to hold you on through the next half hour as well, because there's so much I want to know. I mean, I'm so disgusted in Donald Wuerl. I can't fathom how you feel being at the heart of this.
Yeah. Look, you know, this all came to a head in December 2nd when I read my file finally after months of negotiating that with Pittsburgh's in-house lawyers, and saw his file memo where he had indicated he met with the papal nuncio and talked about my matter. And then Pittsburgh actually facilitated an effort to have me meet with Cardinal Wuerl, and then that never came to pass due to the resistance of Cardinal Wuerl's lawyer in the Archdiocese of Washington, who put up so many roadblocks and restrictions on what I could do, and then ultimately canceled it when it was supposed to have occurred on last Saturday, January 12th.
I want to get right to this. It's a powerful interview. Rob Seilig is a former priest who basically blew the whistle on Archbishop Theodore McCarrick for what McCarrick did not only to him, but to other seminarians. And Rob, I appreciate you hanging in with us, but it is not wrong for me to say Donald Wuerl is a liar, yes?
I would agree with you in the context of what he's tried to convince me about his knowledge and all of that. Yeah, I would agree with that, Wendy.
Hey, Rob, the McCarrick case, I mean, people shouldn't be shocked by this. If you read enough about the McCarrick case from the time he was in D.C. and then he went to Rome in his ascension to power, it's kind of a template for the Catholic Church and its inability to actually tell the truth, to acknowledge what was going on and to accept it and to take these folks to a real criminal justice system. I mean, Catholics actually flew to the Vatican and said, this is what McCarrick was doing, and they didn't do a thing. So this is not shocking to you, right? The lack of action against these powerful, powerful men.
Well, certainly not when it comes to his conduct with seminarians like myself,
right,
and newly ordained priests. As to the more serious stuff involving abuse of minors, it, by all indications, none of that had really been known until the summer when it all felt, really began to unravel for him.
So this,
ahead. It was widely known in my diocese, and I know in Newark, when McCarrick was there, that the sleeping arrangements were inappropriate. He would arrange these things to come up one bed short for his guests, and it was commonly talked about.
And so, any of these allegations that are coming out, this grand jury report, the extensive, the pervasiveness of this is of no surprise to you?
I don't know the Pittsburgh situation well. I'm from New Jersey. I've certainly been following the grand jury report that there have been instances where priests were not properly handled for abusive conduct, including that of minors, is not terribly surprising. I think it's been a part of what the church has not owned up to in all of the years, and hopefully may now be doing a better job with so much attention by government agencies on its conduct.
So, Rob, in the last 4 months, 1,000 priests have been named as priests who raped young boys, and no one's gone to prison. One priest from Pittsburgh actually pled guilty last week and got a 2 to 14 year sentence, and even getting that accomplished is astounding. As a former priest, did you know that this was part of the culture when you were a priest?
I honestly can't say I did know that, and
okay,
and you know, I'm not trying to
hide
behavior. It was not that there were priests who were being moved around for reasons that were somewhat suspicious, including how they interacted with others. That was a little bit more commonly known, but I don't have knowledge as to the extent of how serious actions were and the cover up in that.
Has Donald Wuerl reached out to you?
He did, despite, you know, finally after my efforts for 3 weeks to work out a meeting with him where I wanted to talk to him. It was only after his first letter to his priest and statement about the confidentiality I talked to in your earlier segment hadn't flown very well in the press that he hastily arranged a call this past week, his lawyer calling me to say he wanted to talk to me. We arranged that for 2 hours later, and we had a 45-minute call where I allowed him to tell me what he, why he wanted to call and what he had to say, and then I responded.
What did
to
he
a
say?
Well, he basically apologized for three things. One, and I thought that this was heartfelt, he apologized for the actions of his Pittsburgh priest for the abuse I endured in the seminary. He apologized for the actions that McCarrick performed in regard to me, and I felt that was genuine. And then turning to his own behavior in not acknowledging his knowledge about what I had disclosed to them back in 2004, the best he would do is only apologize for his lapse of memory. which I did not find to be sincere. It sounded very scripted. He used that phrase repeatedly, and a lot of what he said to me ended up appearing in his letter to his priest mm-hmm. 2 hours later.
What would you have wanted to hear? What does need to be said?
I wanted him to hear, and I really held out some hope when he called me, thinking maybe this is the big mea culpa is finally occurring that I think he still owes, which is I had known all these years. I had selfish reasons not to admit to what I've known because of all the questions that would come out of that, and I'm sorry for it, and I will now go out publicly and tell the world what I've known for all of these years and seek forgiveness from the Catholic community for it. And I think that is all a necessary step if the church has any hope that the church community is going to have any hope and trust in its leaders once the Pope has his meeting next month with all of them. That people can begin to try to find some confidence in them and believe that any reforms are going to be real.
Hey, Rob, as a Catholic and a former priest, I've struggled with my faith, and I'm wondering if you have. I've had friends that killed themselves who were raped by priests. As a former priest, have you struggled with your Catholic faith?
I've struggled with the church leaders. There are lots of good priests out there. I know some of them well. But yes, in terms of the church's leadership, it has been a great struggle, but I find that I'm in a pretty good relationship with God, despite what its leaders Amen. Seem to be doing to take down the church.
You're amazing. And your story's amazing. And we're going to reach out to you again. I think it's important.
Okay. I'm happy to come back on if that's helpful.
You bring clarity. I'm as a convert to Catholicism and as a mother of five raising my children Catholic, I'm angry.
Yes.
I'm really angry.
As you should be.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.